Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, March the 20th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 7, page 98, in Working with Others, starting with the second paragraph beginning with Burn the Idea. We'll be reading this one paragraph, and it ends in Trusting God and Clean House. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Karen W. for the 12 Steps, Pam M. for the 12 Traditions, and readers of our text are Eileen M., Dion R., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Leah S., and Don B. will be doing our announcements, and Lynn S. is recording us. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, March 19th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,282. That's 14282. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, March 20th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,285. That's 14285. OA Preamble. Our Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen W. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a safe day, everyone.
Thank you, Karen W., for reading our 12 steps. And now Pam M. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. Blessed morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a God day, everyone. I pass.
Thanks, Pam, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that goes for your own mute button on your phone. Please don't use that. Use the star 1 to mute and unmute. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. Thank you so much for your cooperation. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 98, the second paragraph, beginning with burn the idea, and it ends in trust in God and clean house. And so today Eileen M. is going to start reading. Good morning, Eileen. Star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Eileen M., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. And I love this. This chapter is such an excellent guide for sponsors. You know, it shows me precisely what to do. I love the word burn because to me that's, you know, I can keep telling a sponsee, you know, over and over that they can recover, you know, if they become entirely absent and do these, you know, follow these instructions. And it's really not that much work compared to the reward. You know, if someone truly has the gift of desperation, you know, and they put their trust in something greater than themselves, you know, that really nobody can stand in their way. You know, I have to put God first in all of my affairs. I have to put this work first, you know, the work of 10, 11, and 12. And my life depends on it. And, you know, it's something I have to do every day. I have to put God first, you know, and then my program and my husband and then my job. You know, and that's the order that I have to prioritize this, especially when someone's going through the work. It's really important to prioritize it. It was the most important thing in my life, basically, because my life depends on it. So I just think this is such a great paragraph because it's like a promise. It really is. Because, you know, saying he can get well regardless of anyone. You know, I once had a sponsee, and she said that she couldn't recover because her husband was an alcoholic. And, you know, until her husband got better, she could recover, or when, you know, her job settled down, she could recover. And, you know, I don't know. I think the best time to recover is right when you're in the midst of chaos, really, because, you know, it just allows you to see what God can do in your life. And it's really incredible. So with that, I pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen M. So we just read in Chapter 7, Working with Others, we're in the second paragraph on page 98, Burn the Idea. Who would like to share?
Deonor.
Santa A.
Liz
Shelly C.R.
Santa A.
M. Okay, I heard
Shelly C.R.
Santa A.
I'm sorry, did I hear a Kelly C.R.?
Shelly C.R.?
Shelly C.R., okay.
Liz
Santa A.
Irene, I have you. Thank you.
Julie E.B.?
Hold on, I heard somebody before Julie E.B.
Liz S.
Pam M.
Santa A.
I have Santa.
Shlomit Hannah B.
Okay. Hold on, everybody. I've got my lineup for this round. I'll get you on the next round. So this is who I have. I have Dion R., Santa H., Shelly C.R., Liz, I'll need to get the last first initial of your last name, and Julie E.B. So, Dion R., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Santa H. Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Dion.
Can you please say where we're reading?
Yes, we're on page 98, the second paragraph, Burn the Idea. Go ahead, Dion. Dion War, star 110 mute, please. Are you there? Dion? Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm just talking away. I'm sorry. Hi, yes, this is Deanna. All right, good morning, all. The part, Burn the Idea into the Consciousness of Every Man, that he can get well regardless of anyone. That part right there, that was a test, like I just heard Eileen share about. I had to put it to the test right in the midst of chaos. Just, you know, a brief little history. I remember when 2012, I just said, you know what, I had been blessed with the gift of desperation. Believe me, at that time, it did not feel like a blessing. But I remember my husband was suffering from his disease, and I was suffering from my disease. We were just a bunch of disease running around the house, the two of us. But anyway, I got the gift of desperation, and long story short, I had to put that to the test. And this part right here, the only condition is that he or she trusting God and clean house. I mean, that's where I was at. I just said, you know what, I'm going for it. Old thing my dad used to say, you're going to shoot, because he loved basketball. Either you're going to shoot or you're going to dribble. To me, that means, like, you know, you're either going to do it or not. And I did. I went full force. I just said, you know what, God, I'm whatever. And my husband went along with me and helped me there, you know, to get started. Because I just had to go full force, and regardless, I had to clean house. It got scary at times, but I said, I'm just going to trust you, God. Look, they said all I need is to just clean house. I'm being honest, and long story short, he took me through some trying times, and today, yes, you know, I'm still recovered, you know, since June of 2012, so that was nothing but the grace of God. I was just ready. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of the old cliche, you know, where it's like, family, no family, whoever, you know, it's time to go. The disease had to go, and thank God I did. And now I'm just here to carry the message and offer anyone hope to let them know, yes, it does work. It really does. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share, guys.
Thank you, Dion. And Santa H., you're up, followed by Shelly C.R. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning, Sherry. I apologize for keep screaming my name out like that. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. And this paragraph is just what I needed this morning. My higher power always given me what I need. And this was a spiritual nourishment for my soul this morning. And I'm going to start at the bottom, because the bottom line for me is to trust God and clean house. And what that means to me, to trust God, is doing steps 1, 2, 3, and cleaning house is doing steps 4 through 9. And so where it says, regardless of anyone in any situation, You know, that's, I had to put that word in any situation. I will get through what's happening today in my life. And I just keep remembering that God will never leave me nor forsake me. And I just have to keep holding on to that thought and continuing to do the work. Then the idea, burned the idea into my consciousness. I looked that up to see what was the mean, what the meaning for me. And I love what the dictionary said, essential, urgent, critical. And I love the word passionate and vigorous. I have to be passionate about this program, and I have to be vigorous, vigorous actions day in and day out. And that's how I burn the idea into my consciousness, having to get it from my head to my heart. And this is a process that requires work. And the work that it requires for me today is to keep repeatedly doing step 10 over and over and over and over and over again. And it always brings me back to my source when I do my step 10. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Santa H. Shelley C.R., you're up, followed by Liz, and we'll have to get the first initial of your last name. Good morning, Shelley C.R.
Good morning. Good morning, visionaries. First of all, thank you for your service. And this is Shelley C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. And this small paragraph, as per how it usually goes, there's so much in this. But this brings me back for me specifically, like I think about, you know, when I first got in this program, and right away I got a sponsor, and, you know, she can share her experience. I'm hearing, you know, people's experiences in meetings. At that time, it was just face-to-face meetings. And it wasn't not a lot of recovery in the face-to-face meetings where I'm at. And so then getting hooked up with A Vision for You, learning about podcasts, speaker meetings that I could listen to and whatnot. But all of it referring me back to the big book and referring me back to like all these different things that people, you know, how they work the steps, how they work their programs. But it, ultimately, it's up to me to implement those things, because I can sit in these rooms forever and just kind of sit and nod my head and smile or whatnot. But until I do the work, then nothing's going to change. And so this is where my defective character, which it can be a defect, but I'm a rule follower. And so that's where it kind of came in helpful is, you know, okay, my sponsor, she has what I want. I need to follow what she says. And these people that I'm listening to on these meetings, like what they talked about as far as their recovery and being abstinent for years and decades that I didn't even think was possible at all. It took me a long time to believe that as a possibility. Like, I need to listen to what they're saying. I need to try those things out. I need to figure out what works for me. And so doing that has been so amazing and helpful. And, you know, sometimes I have to be creative in what that looks like, because my family life, my wife works shift work. We have a young child, and he has kind of some extra needs. And so it's like I have to be creative in what that looks like. So a lot of times I'm listening to meetings on my earbud as I'm doing stuff. And that's just what it needs, what needs to happen. But that keeps me focused in this program throughout my whole day, not just at one point in the day when I listen to a meeting or when I'm eating a meal, but I need to like be in the program and turning it over to my higher power all day long. And so doing that, turning it over to my higher power, having that trust, and then cleaning house, that part about going through the steps, working the steps with my sponsor, that's what I'm currently doing. I need to completely clean house, and then I need to do that on an ongoing, regular basis. I need to practice my step 10 whenever something comes up, not just, again, like taking my inventory at the end of the night, but doing that spot check. I need to make sure that I'm paying attention to how I'm living through my higher power on a day-to-day basis. This program is amazing and wonderful, and these are the things that I can share with my sponsees as well. Again, through my own, I can share my experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. Liz, you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Liz, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
Yeah, it's Liz S. as in Sam, recovered in New Hampshire.
Go ahead, please.
What I love about this this paragraph, and it's just right, you know, preceding it is, you know, people or other dependence on God. And, you know, what I tell my sponsees is, reminding them what step they're on. You know, not it's like being in a college course and reading the syllabus ahead. You panic. I mean, if I read what I have to be able to do on the final, I'm not going to get through the first, you know, the first day. And I'm working with someone now who's worried and panics and how am I going to get through? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, you're on step one. One. We're going to focus on one. We're not going to focus on, you know, how you're going to change. Because what the beauty of these steps are and the wonder and the absolute miracle of the way that Bill wrote this book is you just follow the instructions. You follow the steps. You don't focus on 10 when you're on 1. And what will happen is you follow the directions and these problems that you're so concerned about are going to work themselves out. But let's focus on each step as we go. And that is what I find the absolute wonder and miracle of these steps. And I had a really phenomenal psychiatrist at one point who told me, you know, when you're overwhelmed with worry and fear and all that stuff, he said, imagine a bookshelf, just an imaginary bookshelf in any room you want. Put that stuff up on the shelf, just up on the shelf, put it up on the shelf until you're able to deal with it. And I think it's a wonderful concept. So when you're on one and you're overwhelmed and you've just got all this stuff going on, put it up on that shelf because one is so important. We deal with it as we get to two and we discover, you know, that higher power, and we get to three and we start turning our life over to that higher power, and then we get to four and all this stuff and this junk we get rid of. And I think it's just in the order of these steps to me is God working through Bill. And that's what I find so phenomenal. And I always encourage sponsees, don't, you know, look ahead, read ahead, do ahead. Follow the process. Follow the process. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. It's work. But it's hard if you make it hard. And it's not difficult unless you make it that way. And so and you can end up at the other end, that different person that you want to be. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
Liz S. And before we hear from Julie B., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 98, the second paragraph. Burn the idea. We're going to read that one paragraph only. Trust in God and clean house. Julie E.B., and I'll take some more names after Julie. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. And I just want to say what a great word to start with, burn. I have some stuff I'm getting tested for that causes my chest to burn, and it's constant. It's always there. It's there. It's there around the clock, and I just so grateful today for this consciousness. You know, when the fourth step says you get done with that fourth and fifth, you're looking at things from an entirely new angle. This is a first step admonition for me too, to give my sponsees. You can get better regardless of anyone. I remember the first day I decided I was not going to eat one more bite, and this is with God's help, but over my family of origin, specifically over my mom and the craziness that would come up in my head. It wasn't from her. She was doing the best she could. But I had so much, my yoga teacher used to say at the beginning of yoga, let go of your story. Oh my gosh, so many stories about my past. Burn into your awakeness, your awareness. And of course, this word consciousness was part of my spiritual experience. Bottom page 25, we come to the point like today in these times, there's no middle of the road. I can either continue on as best I can, blotting out my consciousness, my awakeness, and my intolerable situation. My life was intolerable. My childhood was intolerable. The way I tried to deal with myself was intolerable. The food was intolerable. The disease was intolerable. You know, let me tell you about the Miracolous program. I stepped into 12-step rooms about 8 years ago, and I started with the people in my life and burning into my consciousness with someone who had 20 years of recovery in OA, and now it's unbelievable, but she walked me through that other program, and then when I was ready, I just asked her, what is this abstinence thing? And I went back to this meeting, my face-to-face, and someone came in from Vision, and the rest is history. I just want to say we can get well, the wakeness, being aware, regardless of stock market, regardless of my job, my relationships. These things are all shifting for people right now. We can. So what does it ask us to do? It just asks us to clean house and trust God. And I love from one of Nessa's special editions, I love you. God, I love you. I trust God, I'm yours, and I trust you. And I hold on to that, that no matter what's going on the outside, I'm safe on the inside. And that's my consciousness that radiates from the inside out today. If I had gone through this very same illness, possibly a bad illness, years ago now, I would have had 6 underlying conditions. And today I have none, thanks to the recovery and amends of this program. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Julie B. And now I'll take some more names. We're on page 98, paragraph 2. Who would like to
Brian B. Heather A. Amber B. Heather A.
Nancy. Nancy.
Jerry M.
Jim. Okay.
Don
so
B.
I heard
Sam M.
Nancy.
Irene B.
Robin.
Jody.
Jody E.
Jerry.
Heather
H.
I'm just laughing because I'm hearing everybody. It's kind of like a car pileup. Okay, so this is who I've heard. I heard Slomihana B. I think I heard Pam M. I heard Nancy. I don't know the first initial or your last name. I heard Robin P. I heard Jody. I believe that was Jody E. And I can take one more, and we might be able to
Irene
B.
Irene B.
I have you, Irene B.
Dawn
okay.
B.
Okay, I'm going to try. I think I heard Don B. also, but I think
Jerry,
I heard Don. Hold on, I heard Don B. before Irene B., so I'm going to put Don B. there, and Irene, I'll have you at the end there if we can do that. So I have Shlomihana B., Pam M., Nancy, Robin P., Jody E., Don B., and we're going to put Irene in there if we can get her in, and if I can get any more people in, I will, so let's get rolling, folks. Shlomihana B., please go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Wow, I was prepared to not even share. I didn't think I got in. I got in first. Wow. So thank you, God. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody, for the line, for being on the line. Thank you to the timekeeper. I'm Shlomihana B., and I am so grateful for this fellowship and for this meeting. And I love this little tiny paragraph really packs a punch. And what I was thinking of was, yes, my recovery does not depend on anybody. And last week, I learned that lesson the hard way because I was in Texas. I went the day before everything exploded with the coronavirus. And the next day, I was ready to turn back and go home. And I had just situation after situation after situation piling on me. And I picked up at the end of the day, and I went on a huge binge. And the next day when I called a friend, I started telling her, you know, my sob story. And she said, that's just a story. You picked up. What happened no matter what? And I realized, you know what, there's a million and one reasons why I could eat. And I was using the excuse of the situation, the people around me, the people at home, my mom, the people that came to to visit me for a little party that my mom had made for me in the midst of all this chaos. And I convinced myself that by the end of the day, that my recovery, I forgot that my recovery really doesn't depend on anything else. My recovery depends on God. And I forgot about God. I left God out of the picture, and that's a real lesson for me. Thank you, God. I got right back on. I'm on day 8 today. And this is a great message for me to hear, being in step 1, that no matter what's happening in life, no matter who's around me, no people or no situation really determines my recovery. What determines my recovery is following the directions in this book. This book tells me exactly what I need to do. And working this program to its full capacity and trusting and relying on God and keeping that relationship strong and clear. And that is what will bring me to recovery each and every day. And nothing else, nothing else, nothing short of working the program and God. Mm-hmm. And that's all I need. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shalima Honey B. And Pam M., you're up, followed by Nancy, and we'll get the first initial or last name. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for hearing me, moderator. I love this paragraph. It's starred and underlined a bunch of times in my book. And, you know, I used the excuse of not getting involved in OA for a long time because my mom was in OA. And she was in OA for like 20 years. And I saw no recovery, never got any kind of amends from her or anything like that. To this day, she doesn't understand that. And I know that that's because that's just, she wasn't exposed to the steps in the way that I have been. But I never would consider possibly going because I didn't see that she had gotten recovery. And I didn't even know what recovery was. What I saw was that she didn't lose weight, you know? And so I think this is really pertinent right here because I'm thinking OA is not going to help me because I'm not seeing the physical results that I'm assuming that we're supposed to be getting from this program. And once I got into OA, it was, well, I can't eat like that because my husband doesn't eat like that. And I used to think that, you know, me being, you know, 5'2" and, you know, have to eat the same thing that my 5'10" husband does. And I had all these concepts about, you know, being dependent on other people. And then that carried on too in the sponsor relationship. And I actually just was having a conversation with one of my sponsees yesterday about this, that we can't be dependent on our sponsors because if they have a lapse, you know, then it triggers. And it has before in me working with sponsors and them, they have a lapse. And then I think, oh, well, they have a lapse. Now I don't have to be accountable, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And I've seen it happen for my sponsees as well when I have, a moment of weakness and have to have this conversation with them. And then they believe this too, that, oh, you know, it's going to happen to me. And I'm learning that this is definitely all about me and God, me and my higher power, what our relationship looks like. And it's so important for the times to trust in God and clean house. Just let's just not think so far into the future and just trust in God and clean house. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam M. Nancy, the first initial or last name, please.
A.D.
A.D. Okay, Nancy, go ahead, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everyone being on the line this morning and everybody that made it happen. I've been trying to call in and getting an odd response that they'll call me back, but they never do. So I was so happy to get in this morning. And I had had a planned call with my sponsor, and somehow that didn't work out. And so I was feeling a little sorry for myself. And then when I was listening to what the page was, it was a perfect antidote. And I have used this so much in my program. I've been around for 30 years. And in the beginning, I thought that, you know, everybody and everything had to be okay before I could get abstinent and get on with it. And clearly learned that that wasn't so. And then in the last, about 15 months ago, I had a sponsee commit suicide, and I didn't fall off the wagon. I threw myself under it, and I just didn't ever see being able to be okay again, to get back to the program or anything. And finally, laying in my bed and not being able to move, and I remember a vision for you, and I just started phoning in and listening to you guys. And finally, it was like, okay, maybe. And I announced myself as a newcomer again, and someone from another city just phoned and said, well, you could just phone me your food. And I thought that I had to have just the right person to do that with. And I really thought that I could only do it with, you know, face-to-face meetings and that, but it was, our community was devastated by this person's death, and I just couldn't go to meetings here. And so this total stranger who just talked to me one time live, and it started the change. And I lost a couple of good friends in program that had been friends for like 25 years, and through all of this distress, they can't spend time with me. And so I really felt like my program was falling apart. And so I decided that I needed the perfect sponsor. And so I didn't like somebody with a particular accent, and that person didn't sound good. And finally, I remembered the instruction that you just need to trust God, and found a perfect Vision for You sponsor that has just been my lifeline. So I am so grateful that the book dresses it down to such simple instructions, and that people like you guys are on the phone talking about it. Thank you so much.
Hey, Nancy A.D. and Robin P., you're up, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And so grateful to be on this phone line. Wow, it's such a miracle. It just shows that God does provide. And the only condition is that he trusts in God, or he and she, or she trusts in God and clean house. And that's been my experience, you know, that everyone can get abstinent. Every person can get well, regardless of being married or not being married. I came into the program when I was divorced. And through the grace of God, my husband and I got remarried in program. And the most painful thing I've gone through in adulthood is I'm electromagnetic field radiation sensitive, and I hear all day, all night. And that's, at times I thought, the only, you know, what can I do? You know, oh, poor me, you know, pour me a drink. And it's such a lie, you know. And God, it's like, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle, because the only condition is that we trust God and clean house. And I've been having miracles with this, and it's been 7 years, and I've been abstinent for 4, and God provided. And I got on a plane 2 weeks ago in the middle of all the stuff, and went cross country, got help from somebody who's actually helping me. And it feels like a miracle. But if I weren't abstinent, I wouldn't be open for the miracle. And, you know, working the steps, cleaning house, helping others, you know, I have God bumps right now. It's just, it all comes together for good, as long as I do my part. And I'm just so grateful for these phone. I literally just look at the clock and go, is it 10 yet? You know? So thank you all for being such a lifeline, you know, and it's such a disease of isolation. So I really get to just keep boosting up my program, making sure that I am staying connected. God bless everybody in your recoveries with a very abstinent recovered day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Jody E., you're up, followed by Dawn B. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your tremendous service. So many of us wanting to share on this paragraph, and to burn into our minds and hearts the idea that we can recover regardless of anything, regardless of job or no job, husband or no husband, wife or no wife, virus or no virus, we can recover if we are willing and ready to trust in God, to clean house, and to carry this message to those who still suffer. Am I ready? Am I willing to do all of this? Am I ready to put down food? Have I had enough? Have I come to the point where the food is no longer doing for me what it used to do? And I can't take it anymore. And I want something better. I want a better life. I want to have a manageable life. Are you ready for that? If you are, you can recover. Join us. Put down the food, find a sponsor, and work these 12 steps, and you too can recover. Thank you, God. So grateful today that we have this program that can carry us through this time of this virus with serenity. God can remove our fears, and we can match this calamity with serenity. I'm so grateful to be one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody E. Don B., you're up, and I think we'll have time for Irene M. and possibly some more. Don B., go ahead, please. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. This is a fantastic small paragraph. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he get well regardless of anyone. So for me, that just means that regardless of what's going on around me, I can be well. I can be well today. If I'm already recovered, I can continue to practice this program regardless of what's happening around me, regardless if my schedule is turned upside down and now I'm home and everyone else is, their schedules have ended and they're home as well. Regardless of if my support people are gone around me, regardless of any situation that I have, I can be well today. I can get well and be well today. And that means my thinking can also be well today. Oftentimes, and especially when I was in the disease, I would tell myself, I have no choice. I have to be upset over this. And now through the working of the step 10, which is part of the cleaning house, I can recognize when I'm telling myself things that aren't true. I have no choice. I have to be upset over this. That is not true. That is not true. I have a choice. And today I can recognize when I'm telling myself these things that simply are not true and perpetuate me being upset. Sometimes I'll tell myself, I can't be happy because... I can't be happy because I don't have enough toilet paper stockpiled and I don't have, you know, enough paper towels to get me through the day, or I don't have enough this or enough that. It's just not true. It's just not true. The only condition is that I trust in God and I clean house, which to me means, you know, working a 10th step, working the steps. So the only condition for me today to be well and, to have healthy thinking is that I trust in God. And for me, what that looks like is I just visualize myself holding my higher power's hands or being embraced by my higher power and being carried. And I just clear my mind of all my thoughts and just ask for my higher power's loving presence to be the only thing that I see and hear and experience. And then I can just rest in that loving presence. It's a beautiful thing. So today I am reminded by this paragraph, I can let go of my story. I can let go of these things that I'm telling myself. I have to be miserable because I have to be whatever because it's just not true. The only condition is that I trust in God and that will relieve me of anything that I'm telling myself. And this is also a beautiful paragraph for people who are hesitant to be sponsors. I know that in the beginning I was so freaked out about being a sponsor. And so I just begged a couple people to allow me to read the big book. But this tells us it doesn't matter. You can be sponsored by a stick and you'll still recover. You just trust in God and you clean house and that's it. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Don B. And Irene B., we have time for you. Go ahead, please.
Lisa G?
B, and then I'll take Lisa G. Irene, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much.
Go ahead, Lisa. I mean, Irene.
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Go ahead, Irene B.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I am so sorry. Major technical difficulties. Just to share on this powerful little paragraph. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love it. Burn into the consciousness of every man, woman, and child, that we can get well regardless of anyone. I used to think that everybody was responsible and that I'm a victim. And I just very, very recently realized that I have been a victim of myself. I'm the one who kept me sick. Here, well, we'll get back to that. The only condition is simple. There's only one little condition, that we trust in God and that we clean house. Okay. So I've got to trust in God. There is a power higher than myself, and I've been my own God. That's not good. So that has to go. And then I have to clean house. When I say clean house, what the first thing that comes to mind is I have got to clean my brain. I have to remove from my brain my core irrational beliefs that are fed by my cognitive distortions. I have been trying to do that for 30 plus years, and I hadn't been able to do that. Because I was trying to do that with my intellectual brain. And intellectually, I understood and I refuted all those things that live in my brain. But the stuff that lives in my brain, that kills me, that hurts me, my core irrational beliefs, they don't live in the executive part of my brain. They live in the primitive reptile brain. And my reptile brain is hardwired. I don't have access to it. I just don't. Lord knows I've tried. And I was hopeless because I thought there was no hope for me because I knew that I couldn't reach me. And I expressed this to my sponsor, and she looked at me and she smiled at me in such a peaceful, serene manner. And she said, Irene, you're not doing this. God is. Oh, my gosh, that gave me hope. And I said, you know what? I have tried that. Oops, okay. I'm just here to say that it works because God is on my side and I am accessing his power. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Lisa G., you've got about a minute. Go ahead, please. Lisa G.
Hi, this is Morris B. Can I go after Lisa G?
I'm sorry, we only have a minute if Lisa G is on the line. If not, go ahead, please.
Hey, Sherry, it's Lisa G from Texas.
Okay, please, 1 minute. Thank you.
The first thing that I thought of when we read this was, as a compulsive overeater, I wore my disease on my body. So the first thing I was asked to do was to be abstinent, which I thought I could never, ever do. But somehow I did. I don't know how I did it. It wasn't me. Then I was asked to trust God and clean house. And I thought I could never trust God. God has screwed me over so many times. But my sponsor just said, work the step. Let's just work the step. And somehow, by working the steps, I'd become to trust God and clean house. And I'm also in a right-sized body. So somehow or other, these things go together, and I think we're very fortunate as compulsive overeaters that we wear our disease on our body. Because as I saw the fat melt away, I couldn't believe it was happening. And now, as I've worked the steps, I can't believe how I'm just not as screwed up as I was. I've still got stuff. But thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. And thank you all for sharing this morning. Thank you, Team Friday. What a great meeting, folks. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. And if, please come back on Monday. We're here Monday through Friday, and we have a Sunday special edition. And we're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 days, three meetings a week. So, I mean, three meetings a day. So with that, we're going to now read from page 164, Dion R., who's going to share with us today. On page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then, and then we will follow by the Serenity Prayer, and we hope you stay on the line and give us your name and phone number. All right, Dion R., please read page 164.
Yes, hi. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't not transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right and great. Events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I'll pass.